morning, everybody. Good morning. Sounds like school, doesn't it? I think good morning. Praise God. Well, we had a great week last week where we just filled in our heart to heart. And if you missed doing that last Sunday, we prayed for them at the prayer meeting Friday night, and you'll be praying for them every week during grow groups and, of course, praying for people yourself. These are the people that you know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are serious about seeing them saved. And so if you didn't fill one of these in last week, there's still some there in the stand. You can hand those in. So be welcome to do that. So bless you with that. Just want to pray for, oh, I can't see her now. There she is. Let's pray for Tina. John and Tina. Tina's moving into an aged care place facility with John. John's had a few health issues, although Tina's got a couple little operations coming up she's told me about as well. So I just want to really pray God's blessing on Tina, just as she prepares for that. So we won't see her quite as much. She will still be coming as much as she can, so they'll just settle in for a few weeks. So let's just bow our heads and really just commit Tina to the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our sister Tina, Lord, and our brother John. Lord, we know, Lord, your hand of grace is upon them, Father, Lord, and as they're moving into this aged care facility, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you gave that word to Tina that said, this is home. And so, Father, we know that you're going to go there, Lord, that you're going to have already gone, made a way for them, Father. But, Lord, they're going there, Lord, not just to live, Lord, but also to be salt and light, Lord, and to bring your love and grace, Lord, to minister to people around them, Lord, who do not know about your love and your grace. So, Father, we just pray that you bless them, Father. Lord, all the arrangements of the selling the house, those things has all come through. But, Lord, the all of the timing of all of the things, Lord, we just pray for your hand upon them, Lord, that you bless John, bless Tina. Guard them in their health, Father, Lord, and just surround them with their love and grace. So we know they won't be able to come as much as they'd want to, but, Father, our love and our hearts are with them. And so, Father, we just pray that you bless them in every way, Father, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Tina. Bless you, John. Praise God. All right. Well, I just want to talk a little bit about our theme this year, about heaven invades. And we introduced that about 3 or 4 weeks ago on our vision, first week of our Vision Sunday, and just really want to now speak a little bit more about what we mean about with heaven fades, heaven invades, not fades, invades. If heaven fades, we're all in trouble. Although the heaven and earth will all pass away. We know that Revelation 21 says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And God says, behold, I'm making all things new. Amen. And I see the joy in the Lord's heart as he says that. Well, this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, is a key scripture. And I really praise God for those that are coming and praying on the Friday evenings. Every Friday evening, 8 to 9 o'clock is a time of prayer. We had a great time Friday night. We also had an awesome time Tuesday night at the combined prayer time and worship time that we had here on Tuesday night. It was just amazing what God has done there. But this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's one of the main scriptures for this year about us, as the people of God, as we humble ourselves. And as we've already said, it's about depending. If you're not praying, you're not humble, you're not depending on God. And so as we humble ourselves and pray, we turn and turn away from the busyness and every other excuse that we make. Turn from those things. Turn from our wicked ways, from all of the things that become obstacles and barriers. Seek his face. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land, and this land that desperately needs healing. And so that's a key scripture when we talk about the whole idea of heaven invading. And when we talk about heaven, I just want to talk a little bit about what do we mean about heaven. When the scripture talks about heaven, there's three different ways it really talks about heaven. One is where it just talks about the atmosphere around us. So, for example, in Deuteronomy 11:11, it says, a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. And the scripture should come up there. Drink rain from heaven. And so it's about just the atmosphere, the air about us or surrounding us, just the general atmosphere. So quite often the scripture will talk about that. So when we're talking about heaven and invading here, we're not talking about the general reference. We're not talking about it raining. And of course, it can rain very heavily. They've had up in Queensland, they've had a lot of very heavy rain in recent times. We talk about the heavens. And the other word of the heavens in the scriptures where it talks about the stars, the moon, and all that God has created in that sense. So it says in Psalm 8:3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." And so that's another area where it talks about heaven, another reference in Scripture. So we're not talking about the atmosphere surrounding the earth. We're not talking about rain. We're not talking about comets coming and striking the earth, which makes great movies, but praise God it doesn't happen. And so we're not talking about it. What are we talking about when we're talking about heaven invading? And in Psalm 103:19, it talks about heaven, and this is really the sense that we're talking about heaven, is God's dwelling place. It says in Psalm 103:19, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." And so we're talking about really the power of God, about the things of God coming down and invading in a situation. And so when we talk about heaven coming, we're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the person of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit coming into the circumstances, into the situation. We're talking about heaven invading in that way. We're talking about the power of God coming into a circumstance in your life, where the power of God comes right in, and God, in a powerful, miraculous and a mighty way, God does an awesome thing. So it's about the presence of God. It's about the power of God. But it's also about the purposes of God, that we want to see God's plan and God's purpose fulfilled in your life and in the lives of those around you, and even for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see God's purpose come into there. So we're talking about the presence of God, we're talking about the power of God, and we're talking about the purposes of God coming in and invading a situation, coming into that area. And that's certainly our heart when we talk about heaven, about invading, coming in. So that's really our heart. And when we talk about invading, you'll see under the subtext there about liberating lives and creating change. And look, we know this whole world, including every one of us before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were all held captive. We were bound in sin. We were in bondage. We were under the dominion of the devil. We had sin in our lives, it's the sin nature that we were actually born with. And so therefore that we were actually held captive in that. And then something amazing happened when we received the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into our life, that he broke away every chain. He set us free. He washed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be free from sin, free from the fear of death, free from all those areas of things of life that control us, and addictions and things that would hold us back, and guilt and shame. And he came deeply, invaded our life in such an amazing way. So he liberates lives, setting people free. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been set free as the Lord has come into your life and creating change. And really, that's something that the Lord is working on every one of us. We're always being changed from glory to glory, but God will come in and change the circumstances of your life, the things that you are happening to you, the things around you. God can come in and he works in the situation. He brings change. And so we see that the way that when we talk about invading, we see God interrupting. And God will interrupt us. And I praise God that he does. He'll interrupt us. God will interrupt us because God wants to get our attention. Thank you. He'll get your attention. And before you knew the Lord, you might have been blindly just going on in life, but something happened where God interrupted you. God got your attention. And part of, even as believers, we want God to interrupt us, that we're just going through our daily life and then the Holy Spirit will put something upon our heart, pray for someone, ring such and such, talk to this person. There's an interruption that will happen in our life. But certainly the ultimate interruption is when we're headlong going down the cliff, down to our doom in life without Christ, when God interrupts us and he tells us there's something different. We don't have to perish in our sins. And that he intervenes in our lives. That God changes circumstances and he changes hearts. God is one who is not one who is not concerned about us. God actually loves us with such a passion, and he does intervene in our lives, in our circumstances, and in ways that we don't even know. God has done amazing things in your life that you'd be totally oblivious. And when you get into glory, you're like, wow, Lord, you saved me during that time. You helped me in that, Lord. God has done so much for you that you're not even aware of. We praise God for the things that we know about, but God is always working and he's doing amazing things. And so we honor him for that. And then God's life will intersect with ours. And that's the amazing thing with the heart of God, the life of God, touching our lives. And certainly when we come to Christ and here we are on our path, and then the Lord comes in his own life, he comes and intersects with us. He touches us. He touches our hearts. He fills us and pours his love and grace upon us. A wonderful thing when we encounter the Lord in that way. So the Lord comes and intersects. He touches our life. And the other is where he impacts us in such a way that he reorientates our life. We were going one way, but now, because we've come to the Lord, we're now going another way. We're going his way. And so when the Lord invades, when the Lord comes in to life, he will reorientate. He impacts us and he frees us, as I've said. And he indwells us. What an amazing thing is that when you give your life to Christ, that you are filled with the Spirit of God, with the Christ living in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, Christ within us, the hope of glory. What an amazing thing that is, that he would come and indwell and fill us in such a way. And so when we're talking about heaven, we know what heaven is. We're not talking about the atmosphere. We're not talking about the stars and the moon. We're talking about the place of God, but we're talking about the presence of God coming in. We're talking about the power of God coming in. We're talking about the purposes of God being outworked. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about heaven invading, liberating lives, creating change, and that's certainly our heart. And I just want to share this morning, briefly, a good example of really where heaven invades in a circumstance, and a pretty desperate circumstance. In fact, you probably couldn't think of a much more desperate circumstance than this. But when we talk about heaven invades, and across this year we'll look at many things. I mean, obviously when Jesus was born, when he came into this world, what an amazing event that was. The life of Christ, his ministry, the way that he touched people's life, the way that he intersected, the way that he intervened, touched people's lives. When he died upon the cross and rose again, what an amazing event of history that was. And when, of course, when he comes back again, when the Lord will return and he is coming back, when he returns, what an amazing event that will be, when he will come down in all his glory, his splendor and his majesty. And we better be ready for it. Don't be home playing Xbox when that happens. Don't be in sin. Don't be in compromise. Don't be doing other things. You be ready and alert, and with a heart that is full of God and ready for God, that their heart is for him, that we're ready. We're not distracted by the things of the world. I'm not saying don't ever play Xbox. Don't do other things. But if they things control our lives, or those things are our focus, if other stuff is more than the things of God in our life, we don't want to be like that. We want to be ready because he has come back. What an amazing event that will be. And this Bible is full of so many stories of the Lord coming into circumstances, coming in and touching people's life, liberating them, changing them. But I want to use this one little example that illustrates well our theme for this year. And if you've got a Bible, you can turn to it if you like. It's in Luke chapter 7. And Jesus has already done a miracle prior to this. And here he is after that miracle. And people are pretty stoked, actually, when they saw him do this miracle. And so Jesus actually has quite a crowd of people through him. But he's about to do something that is going to change lives forever. He's going to come into a situation that has such an incredible impact, that doesn't only impact individuals, it actually impacts an entire city. Because the Lord is coming and touches people's life with power and authority. And the word invasion is a strong word, because when the Lord comes, he doesn't mess around. He comes, he brings his life, he brings his love, he brings his power. He comes in and he takes control. He comes in and he sets people free. And in history, it's full of invasions where people that were held captive have been liberated as people have come and they've been set free. All right, let's have a look at this story in Luke chapter 7 and reading from verse 11 to 17. And soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And so as Jesus is coming, you can just imagine there's this town. It's not a very large town, but Jesus is coming, and they've just seen this incredible miracle in Capernaum. And so they're with Jesus, he's with the disciples, and there's this throng of people walking with Jesus into the city. And I tell you, they wouldn't be quiet. There's going to be a lot of rejoicing. And then, wow, you see the things that he's done. And this is amazing, this mighty prophet of God. And they're all excited and talking, the hubbub of the crowd as they come in, coming into the city, into this town. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out which is good. He wasn't walking, he was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. So just imagine then, so here's the people, you've got the town gate. Jesus is coming in this way. And the people are there, they're excited, they're passionate. Wow, you know, Jesus is there, he's right in the middle, coming through up to the town gate. And the same time, you have this other procession coming through, and then there's a coffin there, and there's a grieving widow. But I tell you, this wouldn't be a quiet, solemn procession of people quiet. They would have had wailing women, and quite often professional wailing women. And their job was to wail and to scream, and they would be doing that. Maybe a dozen or more, a couple of dozen women screaming, wailing at the top of their voices, and as well as everyone else. And this poor widow there right in the middle of this chaos and as going through following the coffin of her son, her only son. And so we here have these two worlds that are coming together. You have this joyful one of celebration coming into the city, and then full of life and hope. And here we have this other one coming in this other procession, which has this poor woman is now just shattered. Despair, hopelessness upon her life. And we see this coming together. And this illustrates to me strongly heaven invading, where we have these two worlds that have come together and they collide together as they come through the city gate here in Nan. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And that is devastating for her, totally devastating. Because she's lost her companion in life. She's now a widow. And so she's on her own. But she has a son. Now, this son is not a child. It wasn't a child being brought out. This is a man. And it says it's a man. It doesn't say a child. Doesn't say a boy. It says a man. And so we don't know exactly how old he was as a man. He may have been a young man, but he wasn't a small little boy. But everything that this widow had would have been tied up in this child. Because as she's getting older as a widow, and she doesn't have a husband to support her, her means of support are going to be in this son. He's the one that's going to look after her. He's the one that's going to care for her. She gets older. She couldn't go off to an aged care facility. This son would be the one that would look after her until her last breath. And hopefully he would get married and she would come into the family and they would look after her. And that was what they would have done in the culture. But the means of support financially, how's she going to eat? How's she going to live? Because it's the work of the son's hands. This was going to feed her mouth. She has no husband. And so she is now totally, desperately lost because she's got no future as she comes walking along here. Her future is gone. But all her dreams that have been caught up in the son, if you're a parent, which a lot of us are, you have dreams for your kids. You know, you want to see God's blessing upon them. You want to see them become whatever God has intended them to be, however God leads them. We have that heart. And she would have had all these dreams wrapped up in this son and so much wanting to see these great things. And here she are, and then it's just gone. She's just shattered. She is broken. And the deafening noise of these wailing women in her ears, she might have just wanted to tell them to be quiet. She may have been so distraught herself. But this scene of just total and utter despair and hopelessness. And here they come. And on the other end is here Jesus coming. He's coming through. And they said, the collision of these worlds together. And when the Lord saw her. Now this is something that we all got to listen to. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, don't cry. So she's crying. She's distressed. She's visibly upset. And the Lord is coming. And the Lord could have been more hung up with the crowd. He could have been interested in just the disciples and all of the people that were there around him. And he could have, if he was maybe like us. He's not, praise God, he's God. But in all of the busyness of the crowd and all of that there, going through there, he may have seen this and then easily have overlooked this widow. But he's not like us. God sees every heart. He sees every cry. That is the heart of the Lord. And so the Lord, he saw her, and he was just moved with compassion. There's all this excitement and all this wonderful things that are happening around him, but the heart of the Lord was when he saw this widow, his heart went out to her. He had compassion on her. And we've got to understand whatever situation, whatever circumstance that you are going through, that we are going through, even at this time, the Lord sees that. And the heart of the Lord is to look straight at you. And then the Lord comes in and like an invasion, if you like, the world, the intersection of these two worlds, the impact, the collision of these worlds, the Lord just comes through the gate and he comes to this woman and he stands up to this woman. And the Lord's heart is just full of love and compassion upon this woman. He knows well. He understands what this represents for this woman. And for anyone to lose a loved one, it can be devastating. But everything was wrapped up. And the Lord just saw her, his heart. And so whatever you're going through, whatever you... The Lord is not oblivious to that. He's never too busy. He's never over here blessing everyone else and they're all celebrating what God is doing and you're the one who was left out. You're never left out and you're never forgotten. The heart of the Lord is always there for us. And so he sees this woman and with such a compassion in his heart and he comforts her and he says, don't cry. Never think that you've been overlooked or forgotten. The Lord never forgets you, never will forget you. It doesn't matter what everything else is happening. The Lord is there, good or bad. The Lord is always there and his heart there. The presence, and so here we see his presence coming. The person of Jesus Christ coming into this mist of this gloom and doom and despair and hopelessness. The person of Christ comes in and intervenes in that situation. And when he saw her, his heart went out to her. I love those words. His heart went out to her. What a heart. They have the heart of God going out to us. What an amazing thing that is. And then he went up and touched the bier, where they were carrying him, and the bearer stood still. So they're carrying this coffin out there. And so he, first of all, he comes around and he addresses this woman and says, look, don't cry. His heart goes, and he puts his hand on and he says, just stop. And so they stop holding this coffin. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. Then the dead man sat up and began to talk. Probably had a few little stories to tell. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God, and they said, God has come to help his people. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Now, so many powerful things in this story. See, a lot of people are really interested in just wanting a crowd. Let's get a big crowd. Let's have a large number of people together. Even in churches, let's just be big. Let's just get a large crowd. Jesus is not so much interested in the crowd. He didn't go into that place to make a crowd. He went in there to touch a city. That's the heart of God. He wants to touch people's lives. He wants to see people saved. He wants to be set free. And so he invades this situation where people are just in hopelessness. And this woman, can you imagine that woman who is just... Everything that in her life that had any sort of purpose or meaning was taken from her. She had absolutely nothing left. And just the hopelessness of that. And then Jesus comes and says, young man, sit up. And he does. And then he starts talking. We don't know what he says. Probably said, thanks. That's probably a good start. Grabs him by the hand, takes him and says, mother, here is your son. Imagine the witnessing that. What an event that would have been. And how mind-blowing that would have been. This crowd over here were already happy because they'd seen a miracle. They hadn't seen this. And this crowd that saw no life, no hope, what an amazing thing that would have been. When Jesus comes into a situation, he changes everything. He totally upended the whole thing. They were already going off there to bury them and they'd all come back and all become and be miserable and sad. Jesus invaded that situation. He interceded, he intersected, he came into that circumstance and turned the whole thing around. And we saw this incredible joy that happened there. And they were all filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us. And they said, God has come to help his people. What a great conclusion that is. Because this is what this is really about. God has come to help his people. And we need his help. Amen? This world needs his help. This is a messed up world. A lot of messed up stuff happen in this world all of the time. And you want to just read the news or watch the news. There's a lot of messed up stuff. And we need the presence of God to come in. We need the power of God to come in. We need the purposes of God to come into a circumstance. And certainly that's what happened when Jesus came into this circumstance. And I just want to encourage us that God has come to help his people. And that's the message that we want to bring. That's the message of this, while we've got names, while we're praying for people. God has come to help them. God has come to set them free. God has come to touch their life. God looks at them and he is moved with compassion to them. Question is, are we moved with compassion? Or are we so, we're celebrating with what the good stuff happening over there, or we're so busy we're oblivious to this widow who's lost everything? Where are we at? Are we moved with compassion? Because Jesus certainly was moved with compassion. His heart went out to her. God has come to help his people. If you don't remember anything else this morning, remember those words. God has come to help his people. Heaven invades. God has come to help his people. And we read that scripture earlier. It says, if my people, that's you, my people, those who've given their heart to Christ, it says that if we will humble ourselves and pray, we turn from our wicked ways, we seek his face, then I will come and I will heal their land. And that's certainly our heart. We want to see that happen. That's why we're praying. That's why we're serious. That's why we didn't just write down names and we put it in our Bible and forgot about it. That's why we took this out and why we prayed for these people. Every day we're praying for them, because this is for real. God has come to help his people, and he's looking at them in this situation and whatever their circumstance. He's never too busy, never overlooks. His heart is there for the people. God has come to help his people. And to see this man brought back to life, what an amazing thing when the power of God is made manifest in a situation. We had a great testimony from Kayleen last week when the power of God came upon her with that condition that she had, which you have a talk to her. She didn't give all the detail of that, but not a very good prognosis when someone has what they have finding and looking for her, which God miraculously just went. It's amazing when God comes with his power. And that's why we got the word invade, that when God comes, when the Lord comes into someone's life, he just doesn't come just to touch them and make them a fuzzy feeling. The Lord comes to change somebody's life, to change their destiny, ultimately the eternal destiny of a life. And when God comes in, the Lord comes in with power to touch people, to change their life, to liberate them, to set free. And so it's a wonderful thing to see this man who was in the bondage of death. He's been freed from death. And we know once we come to Christ, we live our life not like everyone else, so fearful about dying or when they're going to die. And, you know, as Billy Graham, he said that one day you'll read a report that says that I've died. He says, but that's not true. He says, I'm actually now in eternity. I'm living with God in eternity. And that's the hope that we have when we give our life to Christ, that death doesn't have a hold over us. And that's symbolic for us, this young man that is brought out of death. Because every one of us that doesn't know Christ, we are in death, we're living in death, and we're heading off to our eternal death. But when Christ comes in, when Christ intersects our life and we give our life to Christ, then everything changes. We have hope, we have life. And just imagine that the change for that widow and when her son is restored back to you. That's what it's like, though, when we have our life restored back to us, when we give our life to Christ, when we find out what life really is. The joy that we can imagine there is the joy that we feel when we give our life to Christ. And God's purposes for that widow. God didn't intend for this lady to be one that was just lonely, brokenhearted, despairing, destitute. But he had another plan. And when God came in, when the Lord intervened and this young man comes back to life, then he's able to care for his mother. He's able to give her the companionship, but more than that is to provide for her, and he can look after her, attend to her as she gets older, and one day perhaps have a wife of his own, that she can be a part of that family. And so the purposes of God come into a situation. There's something amazing when God shows up in our lives, in our circumstance, and that's something as believers. That's why we pray. Why do we pray? Because we believe that God cares, and we believe that God not only does God just care, God actually comes in and God makes a change. God actually does something. God intervenes. And that's why we're a praying people. That's why we are praying, because we know that when Jesus comes into a situation, it can totally upend the whole thing. And what was going to be just something so terrible and depressive and sad and hopeless, when the life of Christ comes in. Now, many of you are going through struggles at the moment, and you've got to pray and believe that the Lord is going to come into that situation. The most important thing is we want people to know the person or the presence of Christ. that's even more important than their situation, more important than the circumstances, that they will come to know Jesus. They will have an encounter, personal encounter with Jesus. But the Lord does have a heart. He does care. Lord's heart is for those circumstances, is for those situations. His compassion is there. And so we pray that, Lord, that you're going to come into those circumstances. When there is no hope, Lord, you're going to give hope. Where there's no life, Lord, you're going to bring life, Lord. When there's heartache and despair, Lord, you're going to bring praise, joy, and awe into that circumstance. And that is the heart of God, and that's what we were looking at that this year. But there's the "if my people" bit. And I'm going to keep hammering that until we grab a hold of that, until all of us grab a hold of it. God wants me to grab a hold of that all the more. If my people that were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that they will seek his face, that he's going to forgive us our sins, and he's going to heal the land. A lot of healing that is needed. And I pray that we are stirred in our hearts. But it makes such a difference when God shows up, when God touches a situation. And we're going to hear more about this over the whole year. But as long as we understand what heaven, we're talking about heaven invading, that we want to see the presence of God. We want to see the power of God. We want to see the purposes of God come into a situation. The people are going to be set free. There'll be change, that the Lord will come in and he will intervene in situations. The Lord, he'll come and intersect. He'll touch our lives. He's going to impact us. He's going to do amazing things as we open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. So I just wanted to stand and pray this morning. We're going to pray. And maybe you are in a situation now which is full of gloom, maybe in despair, and maybe you are struggling. And really, when you look at the situation that you're in now, it seems hopeless. And it just seems empty. It just seems lonely, broken, despairing, hopeless. But you've got to realize that Jesus is there. The power of Christ is there. And he's ready to come into your situation. And we want to pray for that this morning. You've got people that you know that we're praying for, these people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are on their way to oblivion and maybe don't even realize that. And we want to be a praying people that are going to have a heart for these people. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, first of all, Lord, that you touched each of our hearts, Lord, that we were able, Lord, that we responded to you, Lord, that we invited you into our life. Lord, when we surrendered our life to you, Lord, that you came and filled us, Lord, that you indwelt our life. And Father, we are so grateful for that. We're so grateful for the cross of Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that you pour your life and your spirit upon us. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for those that are in, now that know you, Lord, that are going through situations, Lord, going through difficulties, Father. Lord, as they cry out to you, Lord, they'll know, Lord, that you're going to come into that situation. Lord, you're not the God who just doesn't care. Lord, you care. Lord, you're not the God that's too busy, Lord. But no, Lord, you're there. And Lord, even in the middle of we can be so focused on the gloom and the wailing of the women and the noise and all that stuff, Lord, that we miss that you're just there, Lord, that you're ready to come into the situation, Lord. So let our eyes be open to you, Lord, that we know that you're there, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts to pray, Lord, because prayer is so powerful, Lord. It unlocks so many doors, Lord, and that you're able to come into circumstance. Let us be that praying people. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you just touch right now anyone that is really struggling in their life at the moment, in their circumstances, maybe not personally, maybe it's their family. Lord, we just pray that you're going to touch those people, Lord. You're going to invade those circumstances, Lord. You're going to intervene, Lord. You're going to touch them, Lord. You're going to impact, Lord. You're going to influence those circumstances, influence them, Father. But Lord, above all, that hearts would be changed. Lord, that you would change them, Lord. Set them free, Lord, from all of the bondages, Lord, of sin and all of the things that are upon them. And Father, that they may be free in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we just want to honor you. We thank you, Lord, that we know you. We thank you, Lord, that we're the sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. But Lord, we want to see beyond ourselves. Lord, we don't live for ourselves. Lord, we want to see others come to know you, Lord, others to be impacted by you. So Lord, we just thank you this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you touch our hearts and touch our lives, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. And I just worship the Lord. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then let's get that right. Let's give our heart to Jesus. Allow him to fill you. Allow him to touch your life. Let heaven come and touch your life this day. Amen.